Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You are now listening to TDL on silverandblackpride.com.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders breakdown, whatever you want to call it. You guys already know, right? Make sure you subscribe. All right. Make sure you hit the like button on YouTube. Make sure you hit the like button. If you don't like it, hit the dislike button. You know, if you don't like it, leave a comment. Right. Leave a comment. If you don't like it, if you like it, leave a comment as well. So if it's your first time here, make sure you just hit the subscribe button. Right. Subscribe. Make sure you go to iTunes and go ahead and subscribe there to Silver and Black Pride podcast. You can check us out there if you want the audio version of this. If you do, you know, enjoy the audio and you can, you know, paint the picture of what's going on in your head, you know, definitely follow there as well. And make you're on Spotify as well there too. And check out and download. Also follow me and BD on Twitter, of course, at BDWilliams18 for BD, at the Mark John NFL for me. BD had the easy week because everybody loves defense and nobody wants to talk scheme with BD. So everybody wants to talk about throws and how far a throw should go and how perfect it should be with me. Yeah. So, you know, the Raiders lost, obviously. Last thing, you know, make sure you guys go to Manscaped, discount code TDL, 20% off all Manscaped products. Make sure I didn't forget that. So, you know, it was a loss. I felt a little better about the game after watching the film. It was just frustrating. A lot of frustration for me, a lot of missed opportunities that they had, some good plays cooked up and they just couldn't execute them, or either a line miscommunication or something stupid happens, or a penalty or whatever. I still think the Raiders have to figure out who they want to be. If he sees like they're a deep passing team, I guess they kind of carry that off from last year into this year. But I think they got to get a little more creative in how they attack people deep. And they have more stuff in the bag. I don't know if he's holding it, it's okay if he is. I'm not mad. Go ahead, hold it. Hold those plays until we have a tough end to this year. So maybe holding on to some of those concepts might help, but it was interesting performance for me, man. I just felt like they could have won that game if they showed up, but they didn't show up.
How much do you think though the Rams have had a hard time? Sorry, the Chargers have had a hard time stopping the run through 3 weeks, right? And so I just feel like that was their game plan, right? Mm-hmm. Going into this game, we're going to run it on them. You know, like that's Gruden's thing. He's like, okay, this is what they don't do good, so this is what we're going to do. And it feels like, you know, that not working like so quickly, them having to like readjust because like literally they couldn't run the ball. Like they weren't gaining any traction on the ground. Right.
Yeah.
So like how quickly like that game plan just got ruined, turned on its head. I think that, you know, the Raiders kind of were slow to adjust, obviously, because they didn't start scoring until the second half.
Yeah, the run game idea wasn't bad because, you know, I'm going to show that a little bit. I think the box matchups, the Chargers came out to play as the pass. I mean, they really didn't come out to play the run again. So it wasn't really like a bad decision. I think a lot of it was, you know, Jacobs is hurt. A lot of it, you know, they're just not executing in the run game right now, run blocking. But, I mean, there was some opportunities for them to run the football that I think they should have took advantage of, but they just couldn't, you know, at this point in time. And I think a lot of it, you know, Jacobs is hobbled. I still think if Peyton Barber, which, you know, him running back that first kick and then him getting hurt in the first kick, I think that kind of hurt the game a little bit too, because I think he could have gave them a little bit more in the run game, you know, just from a cutback standpoint, fresh legs, cutting back, those type of things. Like, I don't know why he's returning kicks. They need to figure that out. If they ain't got nobody to return kicks, they need to bring somebody up that can return kicks. I mean, that's not – you just can't be putting your backup running back, knowing that your running back is hobbled, putting your backup running back in there to return kicks when he's not even, like, a fast guy. And, like, Peyton Barber's like a – has Peyton Barber returned a kick before? You know, like, it's – you know, put Kenyon Drake back there. I mean, if he's just in the pass game and he's done it before – you know, put him back there instead of Peyton Barber, because I think him going down, I think, really hurt them in the run game. I think it would have been a little different if he didn't go down, because I think Jacobs couldn't cut or do any of the things that he really is really good at. And I think that affected the run game a lot. But the Chargers came out to stop them for the pass, which they did very successfully.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders adjusted later on. And, you know, found ways to get more time to the places they wanted to exploit. But, I mean, I would go over that more in the Carfax a little bit. But they wanted to exploit certain parts of that defense, and they just couldn't because they didn't have time. So I think the game plan should have been, you know, let's kind of, you know, get some completions. Let's move the football a little bit. And then maybe later on we can start to exploit some of those things that they saw that they could exploit on tape. Especially with the way that their safeties play and the way they rotate, they saw that they could run some posts on them and get some big plays, and they tried. But it's, you know, when your quarterback's running for his life before the deep play can develop, or before the coverage can open up, there's nothing you really can do about it. So,
is that what you're breaking down for us today?
Yeah, I'm doing the pass protection and the run game. I'm not going too much into that. I'm saying that for the passing offense, because I got to save me some material, PD. I got to save me some material for Friday. So, it was a good game plan by the Chargers, because the Chargers, their decision was, okay, this is a deep passing team, right? These guys throw deep all the time. Everybody's excited. 8 times a game. Yeah. Everybody's excited about it. Yeah. The Chargers are like, okay, you throw deep 8 times a game. Let's see you do it against us. And that was their game plan. They kept everything in front of them. They weren't letting anything get beat deep, but there was a way to exploit them deep, but it wasn't going to be like on go routes or things like that. Or, you know, the type of routes they're running where they're, you know, they're doing post wheels and they're switching and stuff. Like, no, the Chargers were going to be able to man match that and switch with it and do things like that. So it made Carr hold the ball a little bit longer than he wanted to, and made him have to check down a little bit more than he wanted to, I think, too, as well early on. But it's just, you know, when you're a deep passing team, and I mean, that's what you do. I mean, teams like the Chargers that have really good schemes to stop deep ball, it's going to be tough sledding going into that game. And that's why, you know, they wanted to run the football, but I still think that they have to, you know, they have to do some other things, because they got another man match team coming up this week. Same scheme. You know, it's another protege of Fangio, just like Staley is. So they have the same scheme coming up. So, I mean, they usually do well against the scheme. I know Staley's he's a little different animal with what he does. He's just a little different. He's just a little bit of a, It's just like small things that he does that you could tell that, you know, they were prepared. Like, they're probably one of the most prepared teams I've ever seen for the Raiders. I mean, they were prepared for everything they did.
Offense too. Their offense. Yeah. We're going to get into it.
Yeah, they're prepared, bro.
Raiders got outcoached.
Yeah.
Straight up.
That's basically
that sucks. It sucks because
this
is Brandon Staley's first year, and he's already with players that he didn't even decide on or choose or anything like that. Maybe a couple free agents, right?
He chose the coaches around him. I think picking Joe Lombardi was genius. I think that's a perfect fit for Herbert, for his game and how he plays. I think, you know, I mean, he's getting around the defense. He just lets Derwin James really do whatever the hell he wants. And, you know, Derwin James is all over the field. You know, sometimes he's the high safety. Sometimes he's the low
everywhere.
Safety. Sometimes
he plays he's everything. Nickel.
Sometimes he's everywhere. You know, it's like he got the pick on Darren Waller. Then he's guarding Darren Waller 1-on-1. He's everywhere, you know. And then, you know, he knows how to set up rushes. Like, they're getting 1-on-1s with Bosa the whole game. You know, it's a lot of things that, like, you know, Vic Fangio, you know, yeah, it's his scheme. But Staley's out of his own, you know, signature to it, which I don't think, you know, the Bears guys could be able to duplicate what Staley does. I mean, that is like, you know, I mean, Derek Carr made the comment that, you know, it was like an emotional game for them because, you know, after the Joey Bosa thing back and forth, it was an emotional game for them, right? And that comment was interesting to me because it really felt like that. It really felt like the Chargers came to, like, you know, we're the kings of the AFC West. Like, that was like their game, you know? So I wonder how they're going to play next week against the Browns. I mean, I know Staley's, you made that comment about the Chiefs game, but I saw that this is a division game and they came like with, you know, I guess they came to like punch the Raiders in the mouth and prove that we are finessing. You think you're the physical team. We are the physical team. Mm. And I think that was kind of like their message. That was the message that Staley, and I think that's like his philosophy too. I mean, because even hearing him talk about running the football, he talked about that, the physicality that comes with it. You know, that's it's not just about like play action. It's about, we want to show you that we're more physical than you at some point in time, you know? And I hate that guy already. That's all.
It sucks. Sucks to be a Raiders fan right now.
I hate that dude, man. It's not even about Herbert anymore, man. It's me. It's that dude. I hate that guy, man.
That's gonna be tough. So why don't you just jump into your segment? You know what I'm saying? Talk to us. You said you're gonna do some run blocking.
Yeah, I'm doing offensive line all together. So I'm doing pass pro, you know, and run game. I know a lot of people have questions about like, how can this team get better? I think we saw it in the second half of what's the fix to this. All right. I'm going to talk about a little bit, some of these rumors on the back end, which I we'll talk about it on the back end of this, but I thought the game plan in the second half and why they're able to move the football was what they should do. All right. To be honest. So let's go ahead and check this out. All right, so, you know, let's start with the run game altogether. You know, the run game is just non-existent. They had a good game against a really bad run defense of the Dolphins. You figured that they would be able to duplicate that. But like I said, Peyton Barber got hurt. And, you know, Josh Jacobs, he just struggled, okay? So, you know, the Raiders have been running a lot of mid-zone. I mean, not full outside zone, kind of like its cousin, ugly cousin. You know, he's going towards the C-gap instead of the D-gap. And you kind of see how this works. It's still the same run though. It's the three-way. You got the bend, which is the cutback. You got the bang, which is, you know, take the, you know, the lane, or you could bounce, right? So you kind of see this here. I still think Andre James should go up to the center, but you see that the bend or the cutback is there for Jacobs. He takes the bang, right? I still think, you know, that's the first play of the game. I think he should have took that cutback, but you don't know. Maybe he can't juke this one right here. So this is the second play of the game. Okay. So now we're talking about these looks, right? So Derek Carr checks into this play. He checks into this run, okay? And you can see why. He's got three, four guys that are wide alignment, and he's got one linebacker. This is 5-on-4, okay? Right? You know, even 5-on-5. But I don't know what Cole Miller done. I don't know his assignment here, but, I mean, he's just blocking nobody. But I still think Jacobs could have just took that just straight lane, saw it, and went up. He didn't, right? So I think there was a little bit something wrong with Jacobs, too, for the way this offensive line was playing. Okay. So then we got this one here. It's the same thing. This is inside zone lead. Leatherwood loses, right? You see him on the ground, but Alex Ingold picked it up. I still think, you know, Jacobs could at least like try to hop over Alex Ingold there and make something happen out of that. But I still think that he, you know, had a decent game. Cause I mean, like I said, the it was open for the run game, was open for them all game. I still thought he had some decent runs in there. You'll see inside zone there, see inside zone slice once again, where he's able to, you know, get some good yards here, find the hole, see less patience, burst through the hole, get 6 yards, you know, help set up a touchdown. So I thought in the second half, they played a lot better. So short yardage was a problem for the Raiders this game too. So we're going to go over the segment where right after the face mask for Hunter Renfrow. So we got 1st and 10 here. They get 5 yards on this, but they could have got more. Alec Ingold misses that block. It was a good block by Simmons to get in the second level. Got 5 yards. So then we got inside zone lead here, right? This looks like it's going to be a big hole, right? So as I'm saying, there's a lot of runs, but Colton Miller loses his block. Play's blown up. So all it took was one, right? Colton Miller blows his block up. All it takes is one. So this play was kind of key to me. The Chargers are in their bare front. So they were ready for this inside zone slice, this split zone game. So they're in the bare front. And what this does is it makes Foster Moreau have to block 52. frees up 44. Nothing there, right? And then it's fourth down. And after that, there's nothing. So, I mean, the Chargers were prepared for everything. You know, sometimes, but the Raiders were just, it was just, sometimes it was just ugly. So, see, Illuminor, he's expecting Andre James to make this ace block, but he's on the ground. I don't know why he's on the ground. You guys may find that, figure that out yourself. That blows up the play. Fourth down, right? We'll see it here one more time. This is right after a big pass by Derek Carr, right? Andre James just gets blown up here, just toss it aside, blows up the play, which probably been a hole if he actually kept that block, right? So we'll see one more time. He just gets thrown down. There's a hole there if he holds that block, but he's just tossed around. So in the run game, I mean, like I said, in short yardage.
How are you going to rewind that, man? You seen that?
I had to put it up. Sorry, dog. But you know, it's bad, man. It's the run game. They're either when they have a hole, somebody's missing it, and when they don't have a hole, or when they're trying to make a hole, they're getting no push and getting pushed around, right? So let's go on to pass protection, which is, you know, the big thing that we talked about. The Raiders, Derek Carr is under pressure 45% of his dropbacks, highest of the season by about 10%. So we've been talking about them being so bad. Right. I want you guys to watch John Simpson here. Look at this dude pick up this fumble from Joey Bosa. Like that, you know, that kind of helped him in this game. It kept him from being a blowout. I thought that was crazy. Nobody really pointed that out, but let's watch Alex Leatherwood here. He's going against Joey Bosa. We talked about something in the offseason, the outside hand, right? That one hand type of thing that he likes to do. And we talked about it getting cross chopped. And we see it here again, quick chop. Right to the quarterback, fumble. Okay, so he's having that issue once again. And we're going to see it once again here. It's just, he's getting that one hand up. And, you know, Bosa knows it. Chop right around him. So he still has those technique issues, guys. And you see, look at Colton Miller, you know, just textbook. Look at that bend, dude. That dude's 6'9". Look at that bend. And that's kind of the difference between you see the high pad level from Leatherwood. You see the leaning. You see him using the hands incorrectly. And you watch Colton Miller, it's totally different. And then this was a big play, man. They had Hunter Renfrow wide open on this play. This is just about to be a touchdown. But, you know, miscommunication to do a creeper blitz. I still think he's holding him. I don't know. You guys tell me, is that a hold? He's holding him, right? I don't know. You guys let me know in the comments. But that's a hold to me. But that blew up the play. Miscommunication. I tell you, the Chargers did that a lot. They did that a couple of times, bro. They were holding people. And, you know, see here, this time Andre James gets blown up, right? Just bull rushed. Derek Carr has to get out of the pocket. You know, that was the only pressure that, you know, they gave to Colton Miller. I don't know what that was about. But you know, the Raiders adjusted. They added a chip block. Greg, guess what that happened? Guess what that did, guys? Watch. Oh, they could throw deep. Right? Pass interference. Next thing you know, they're down here. And this is probably the best performance the pass protection did in this game, which I really liked. They got some pancakes here, right? You know, they're getting beat up all game. Let's just throw these dudes on the ground. And then Derek Carr with the dime right to, you know, I'm not going to say a 5-yard pass, the dime, but a nice throw. And then we got the max protection play action. It's crazy. Max protection play action. Look at all that time he's got. Another deep pass. So, I mean, it seemed like a simple fix to me. I mean, and they adjusted. Like, oh, let's get some chip blocks here. Let's chip block. And they got a deep pass interference, all the time in the world. And then we got, you know, I mean, that was just a good play. It gave him confidence. I think the chip blocks and all those things, it gave him confidence. They really didn't have as many pressures in that third quarter as they did in the other parts of the quarter. In the other quarters, I think the first half they had like eight or nine or something like that. In the third quarter, they were pretty under control, but there was a lot of help for Leatherwood. You know, there was a lot of, you know, chipping, a lot of, you know, those type of designs. The only thing that could be a negative from that is that who chips, right? Is Darren Waller chipping? Like you saw Darren Waller chipping, takes him out of the route.
Willie Snead. Willie Snead. Oh, he's the chip man.
Is that the chip man? Willie Snead, right?
He gets the chip. He can be late. Okay. He's a check down specialist.
Check down specialist. But yeah. I think that's the only negative part of chipping is that it was Waller a lot.
I like it. I like the chip because if you're a defensive end and you got that wide alignment, like you're like 3 yards away from like outside the tackle, yeah. You know, and all of a sudden, like you get up and you get smacked in the face by a tight end. You know what I'm saying? Like it changes your whole game up, you know, yeah. If you're having to like constantly worry about, you know, like a guy who actually is your size smacking you when you're not looking, you know, like that gets in the head. So I like it in smaller doses, mm-hmm. You know, and obviously you're going to ask a tight end to chip, you know, a defensive end a lot more often than you're going to ask a wide receiver, you know, yeah. maybe Foster Moreau can get in there too on that. I like that strategy. Let me ask you something though.
Okay.
Last time Raiders went up against a scheme like that, I'm pretty sure London 2019 season.
Yeah.
Right. Against the Bears.
Yeah. Or yeah. Even the Broncos. I mean, they play the Broncos twice a year.
Yeah. They play the Broncos. Yeah. I don't know. Something has changed for Fangio. Gosh. But like when it was like when that scheme was operating well, I should say, the reason why they were able to like dominate the Bears was because they were running the ball so well. Mm-hmm. And you're showing me this, you know, like this footage of the run. I'm just seeing zone, wide zone. Are they doing any, I can't remember seeing any tosses. Are we seeing counters? Are we seeing pullers? Like how much volume is in the run game right now?
Not a lot of volume. Not this game. This game, it wasn't a lot of volume. I think the last game there was when they had Barber. You know, that goes back, you know, Jacobs is just not a power guy. You know, you can even see it that sometimes, you know, his vision isn't the best, isn't the greatest, you know. And he's usually better at those zone schemes and finding cutbacks. But if he can't come back, maybe he feels like he can't come back right now. He just has to go forward. Because he wasn't making guys miss in the open field either, usually like he does when he gets checkdowns and stuff like that. He wasn't making guys miss. So with that, it's tough, you know, because, you know, Andre James can't run gap scheme. I'm sorry, dude. Like, he can't. He can barely run inside zone, which is a little bit of a cousin of gap. I think inside zone is more of a cousin of gap than outside zone is. So there's a little bit of a gap scheme inside that. And he's blocking the wrong guy. Like it's to me, it's like you see a zone in front of you. Like this is zone. Like there's nobody in front of you. Like why force yourself all the way to go block another guy? Like where you have to turn sideways and then you're turning sideways. You can't even get up to the linebacker by the time he gets past you. So it's like a technique thing for me. Like you have to, you know, you're playing center. You got to come out like, you know, looking for, you just don't block somebody. Like he just the zone. You block a zone, not a player. You know what I mean? That's kind of like that guy's not in your zone. The linebacker, you know, even if you watch a design of it or like watch somebody draw it up, it's always like a lean thing. That's like a never like a inside zone is never like a forward like moving thing. It's more like always a lean type of thing where like it's, you know, the guy comes back, the center is supposed to come back or, you know, take that guy. If there's nobody in front of you, that's when you like you go up, bro. You got to go to the second level. I don't get it. But that's my problem. Like he's just not executing anything correctly.
I'm not seeing a lot of these guys get to the second level, it seems.
Yeah.
You know.
Not at all, really. Not at all, really. Even the Chargers were holding. They did that all game.
Yeah.
There's times like they would run zone and like they would grab somebody. The dude would grab him and then the
linebacker. I think there are some special rules about that. That are in the rule book, you know what I'm saying? Free block zone, all that stuff. So it gets a little murky, honestly.
No, I think refs just don't look for that, bro. They don't look for that. They don't look for defensive holding. They're looking for offensive holding. That's like the most rare call.
Right. Yeah, line holding. Yeah.
I never hear that call unless it's like blatant. That's what Johnson should just fell. He should have just like fell or something. Like put his arms out.
They're not used to selling it.
It's selling, bro.
They're not used to
it. Next time they play them, they should though. They should start selling that stuff. Right. Start selling it. Like, oh my God, I'm getting pulled out. But I think that there was some elements of the run game there, and they had a different running back that maybe they could have got some other things done and actually executed their game plan. but it just didn't work. But they got to get more play action too, bro. You know, the some of the biggest plays of that game were off play action. They got to get play action going at this point. Obviously, these teams, I mean, they're still like sucking up and playing the run when they're under center. They're not like playing deep when they're under center. It's when they're in shotgun. They don't take them serious. They're like, okay, you're in shotgun, you're going to pass. So why would we have people in the box, right? So when you bring those guys down in the box, that's where they're able to get some of those big plays. Like, you know, Carr, that was a Yankee concept. Carr hit that post on the Yankee concept because, you know, he had that time and play action to, you know, get those deep routes and let him clear a safety before somebody else, you know, just throw the ball early. So, I thought it wasn't as bad as I thought. It was just frustrating. I thought it was frustrating. But I feel like that if they play that team again, I think it'd be a little different.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the comment from Carr about how it was an emotional game, I think that kind of says it all right there. One team, and it was clear from the result, one team came in and was a little bit more geeked, you know?
Yeah, they wanted something to prove. They wanted to prove that they're best team in the AFC West.
Yeah, so unfortunately, the Raiders didn't come in with that same mindset. Hopefully, yeah. You know, that's a good lesson to learn. Why don't we transition to the defensive side of the ball, unless you had anything else that you wanted to add?
I wanted to talk about the Leatherwood to guard type of thing.
Okay, yeah. So a lot of people are saying this, Leatherwood to guard. To me, that means Illuminor. I hope I'm saying his name correctly.
Yeah.
Illuminor is hurt for a longer period of time. Like, he's not going to be able to suit up this next week. And they like Brandon Parker more than they like, you know, one of these other backup guards.
Did Illuminor get hurt? Because I know he finished that game. Was he on the injury report?
He finished the game. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. He finished the game. So I just think if they did that, it would be a bad move because, one, it's the middle of the season, right? I mean, it's week four, and we're just now moving him to guard. Like, there's nothing you saw in camp that thought that he could be a guard. I mean, you drafted him to be a tackle, you know? Like, this is not like it's like, okay, so I want to talk about this, like, especially the offensive line. Like, the transition from tackle to guard, you know, I don't care if he played guard in high school or college, whatever, you got somebody who's probably going to say that he played all five positions. I don't care. It's like, he played right tackle in college and he's struggling with the transition to right tackle. He is. That's a part of it. That's a big part of it, guys, is that he's struggling with the transition from left tackle to right tackle.
Right.
He's struggling with that, right? He's a left tackle. He won the Outland Trophy as a left tackle. It's not like he won the Outland Trophy as a right tackle. I know he's played right tackle before, but that is not something that he played majority of the snaps while he was at Alabama. He's a left tackle. So like Penei Sewell looks a whole lot better now that their left tackle got hurt. He looked like he was garbage in the preseason, right?
Right.
That transition is tough. Okay. So just the freak out. If this is true, if this is the freak out and move him to right guard or something, it better be your theory. Because if it's just a normal move, that it's too abrupt. Maybe in the off season you decide that after you decide whatever. But like right now, you cannot do that because it's a totally different position. It's like asking a wide receiver to play running back. Nobody would do that. Nobody would be like, Henry Ruggs, man, we need you to take some carries and make it work.
You wouldn't ask a first rounder to do that. You might ask an undrafted rookie free agent to do that.
Maybe, you know,
switch in the middle of season positions. I'm just hoping that it's something to do with Illuminor not being ready, even though he's not on the injury report. I just checked. So I don't know. Maybe the next thing is they feel like on either side of Andre James, they need like two guys who can move people. You know, Simpson, Leatherwood. They're both like what, like 330?
Yeah. You know,
6'5", 330. Great size. Great power.
They got to make sure James blocks the right guy first. Let's get that fixed. Make sure he blocks the right guy.
Next question. Brandon Parker, is he's better than Leatherwood at this point, right?
No, he's not.
It's got to be close, bro. It's got to be close.
It's not, though.
So you're saying that Brandon Parker is that bad?
He came in. So I have press percentages. I do have my press percentages ready. Okay. For the offensive line. All right. So Leatherwood is the lowest. Okay. He's had 15%. Okay. That's not including this week. So I haven't added this weekend, but yeah. I mean, he did have a lot of credit. He had his lowest of the year. He only had five, but, okay. I mean, I'll say only five is terrible, but I mean, it's better than nine, but he had the week before. So, but Brandon Parker played a half a game. Okay. So he played, what I have him at, where I'm at overall. So he played 22 snaps. Okay, guys. He gave up three pressures. Okay. So he has a pressure percentage of 13% on those snaps. Okay. That's nobody else has 10% besides Leatherwood. Okay. So, and with run blocking, it's worse. Okay. So with run blocking, he had three blown blocks himself on run blocking in a half.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay.
In 22 plays.
In 22. So basically. That's 22 pass snaps. I mean, I didn't have the rush snaps in here, but.
That's like a third of the time he's messing up.
Yeah. He is not the go-to guy you guys want out there. You don't want it. I mean, half the problem with Carr right now is his ankle. And the guy who got him beat with the ankle, who like tackled the guy and he fell on him, was Brandon Parker. So. That's not a good idea. He's not a fix. As I'm saying, if they did that, it would make it worse. It would make it worse.
100%. Who else can play tackle?
They got to roll with Leatherwood, man. They got to roll with it. They got to coach him up. They got to get him out of his stance quicker. So he's not reaching and being late, you know. They got to coach him up. That's what they
got
to do.
They got someone on the roster named Jackson Barton.
Yeah, bro. They don't have a backup tackle. That is better than Leatherwood, like right now. Like, it's a wash. Like, you could put Parker in there, but to me, it would be a wash. I don't see the difference. So, you know, it would be a bad move, in my opinion. It would be freaking out. And I think they should freak out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. It's interesting. We'll see what happens.
It would make it worse, man. And I hope Tom Cable is a smart enough O-line coach to know that you can't change a guy's position in the NFL. And it has to be like an emergency, not like just like.
Yeah, in the middle of a game, not like, okay, that's what we're going to do from now on.
You're playing guard now. No, that has not worked that way. Is he going to be able to pick up blitzes from inside?
Going to change the rules a lot, yeah, but they seem to think he's a real smart guy, so
yes, yeah. Anyways, defense, go ahead, BD.
I think that it was good. It was right that people had questions about the offense. I think that their stumbles early on, you know, had a big impact on the way that the defense ended up finishing the game. Mm-hmm. Right. But you know what? There was some other things that we could talk about here. How I think they out-schemed them from the offensive end. Now, they are in base personnel, and they're just in a standard cover three. Everyone knows cover three, you got to work those seams. And when the curl flat player is KJ Wright, you don't have to worry about him carrying that two vertical. Okay, so they adjusted. They started playing man match to the backside, but that puts Corey Littleton in a tough spot to get to that flat. Knowing that, then they go, okay, so let's zone this up, give some Corey Littleton some help to the flat, but then they go right back to the seam, okay? Always a step ahead of them, okay? Struggling to figure out what they're going to do on the backside, okay? Now, again, we're on the backside. They're going to get into a little blitz. They go back to man coverage. Okay. Watch what happens. Corey Littleton gets, you know, that rub. First down, big play. Okay. They go back to zone. They're going to run some, you know, they're going to do a change of strength motion. Nate Hobbs, he has to become a linebacker right now. Okay. Eyes in the backfield. You know, this is just a great call. Great call. You got, watch the change of strength motion. Everyone has to bump over. You see Nate Hobbs. He puts his mouthpiece in because he knows he's got a bang, but he gets caught looking once. It happens. Okay. But this just goes to show you. Okay. Now, all right. So zone didn't work. Let's go back to man. But this time they get a matchup with KJ Wright. So it was just all game. All game, they were in the perfect call for whatever the Raiders were in. They got completely outcoached. It was a cat and mouse game. And, you know, people had some questions about this one. I'm pretty sure everyone's telling Jonathan Abram, back up, watch that seam. And then, you know, they hit him with that flat route right there on the 4th-and-2. And you know what? They also did a good job scheming up Denzel Perryman. So they got a 3-over-2 on both sides, but that just means Denzel Perryman's man-to-man on the in the middle against a tight end, a 6'8" tight end. You know, that's just a matchup issue. And then this time, you know, they're in man coverage again. He's one-on-one. And to his credit, I mean, he contests his catch, but still he's given up a lot, you know, vast majority of passes that are, you know, are targeted to him. Now, stopping the run was an issue. Okay. We're going to see sometimes the gap fits got a little, you know, shaky here. We see an inside move from Quentin Jefferson. They like penetration, but that allows an offensive lineman to get up onto the linebacker and onto the second level. When you have a penetration style of defense, that's kind of what happens. Holes open up. You know, sometimes it's a splash play for the defense. Sometimes it's not. This time, check it out. We got a little pump fake draw, and it turns everyone into pass rushers. No one's stopping the run. Bunch of missed tackles.
It's a damn draw anymore. Damn.
They ran a lot of draw because they know that the Raiders have a hard time stopping QB scramble, so they just did the draws as well. Check out this play, though. We got two big guys in the middle just getting shoved backwards. I showed you it from the sideline angle so you could see just how much room they gave up. Like Marcus was saying, these guys wanted to make a statement. We are tough. We're going to bully you off the ball, and that's just what they did the entire game. Definitely by far the Raiders' worst run performance. You know, and you just saw as it progressed, you know, it just wore down on this defense, and they could not, you know, put this team away in the fourth quarter. But let's talk about Amik Robertson. Okay. Amik Robertson had low key, almost a breakout game. You could say the Raiders are in cover 5 right here. And Amik Robertson needs to stay on the upfield shoulder in this cover 5 call, and he does a great job not panicking, staying under control. I love how patient he is here. He knows, okay, yeah, if he's running flat like that, he can catch it, but I'm going to tackle him short of the sticks. Great situational awareness, great play to make a stop. And then this time he's in press, just does like that's teach tape press technique, right? It, you know, if you're watching it, he just cuts the guy off with his feet, pins him to the sideline, gets his head around, plays the ball in the air. Amik Robertson, I like him on the outside. You know, yeah. What can you say about Amik Robertson? He's a gamer. He got out there. You know, he competed. He was feisty. He did some good things in this game. I'd like to see a bigger sample size. But going back to the run defense, I think. You know, the Raiders, you know, they were averaging, or they were just much more frequently before this week, stopping runs short to gain, okay? And a lot of that is just having to do with, it's a simpler scheme. These guys are able to play super fast and get there. And I think that once they started messing with the rules of their scheme, and Gus Bradley had to, you know, by far the biggest volume in terms of defense that we've seen so far this year. Cover 3 in multiple different ways, cover 1 in multiple different ways, lots of cover 4 calls. They even got into cover 5. They had different dime packages. It was the most defense that Gus Bradley has called this year, right? And I do think at key times, you saw some mental lapses happening out there. Abram backing up, playing the seam on a fourth and two. Like, does he think it's first down? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just some missed tackles, guys like a little bit out of alignment. The Nate Hobbs play, mm-hmm. That's one example, but everyone had a bad play basically in this one, right? I think that it could have just the amount of volume that they came into the game with and some of the adjustments that they were having to make because they were figuring them out on offense. Mm-hmm. I think that could have contributed to maybe just not these guys not playing as fast as they have been, you know, this year so far.
All right. I got a couple questions for you. So the second half, you know, the Chargers only scored 7 points. What do you think the difference was in the second half to the first half? I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I know that they have more stops in the first half, but the second half, they really helped the Raiders get back into that game. So what do you think there was a difference between the first half and the second half?
Yeah, you know, they started playing a ton of man coverage. Okay, and contesting everything, you know, eventually, you know, when they scored their 28th point, you know, the touchdown in that second half, mm-hmm. they were starting to figure him out a little bit, you know, and being able to adjust. But I think that the man coverage definitely helped out, and allowed these guys to be a little bit more, what's it called? Just compete and contest these catches and just stay sticky. I think that's what helped out. I don't think it was a super impressive day from Herbert. I wouldn't say it wasn't there's a good amount of incompletions and stuff like that. And, you know, yeah, you're throwing a 6'8" tight end over, you know, almost like a 5'11" linebacker, you know, like, of course you threw a touchdown right there, you know, like, and some of these were just wide open. Credit to him obviously for seeing it, but it wasn't like, yeah, oh man, this quarterback's going nuts, you know, nothing like that.
Of course
it right wasn't. Yeah, but I think that definitely playing a lot more man coverage in the second half helped out with that.
I was on the Heidi Fang show today, and I was talking about she asked me about what is it that is it something that they exposed or whatever about the Chargers, you know, how they're able to move the football. And I told her not every quarterback is going to take what the defense gives them like Justin Herbert does. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing that, that will beat this type of scheme is just a smart quarterback. And to be honest, guys, there's not that many of them. I'm going to keep it real. There's a lot more exciting quarterbacks than smart quarterbacks. So, and Herbert's one of the smart guys. He's one of the guys who's and that's why, you know, that's a good thing you pointed out. That's what Bradley was trying to throw everything at him, because you just can't come out there and play a base defense. You got to try to confuse him. You got to show him this. You got to show him different things. And, you know, that's probably, you know, they probably showed, you know, you probably experienced this a lot more, but they probably showed the same cover three look, but then end up being man. So then Herbert probably holds.
I'm disappointed, honestly, with the disguise.
Yeah.
You know, based off of what I've seen, you know, in previous years.
Yeah.
I think that this team has a ways to go. And in terms of disguising their intentions, you know, pre-snap, mm-hmm. I think some of these guys are a little obvious with it. I think Abram can definitely work on that.
Okay.
You know, it seems like anytime he's coming off the edge, everyone knows it's happening. Like, his body language is just like, I'm coming. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And he needs to just play a little bit more cooler out there.
Okay.
You feel me? I'm not super like Hobbs lines up in the same exact spot every single time. Like, there's no deviation for him at all. So I think that some of these guys on the interior, and that's really where that's what's going to make it confusing. You know, the corners, like, switching it up and being off and being pressed and being in a half turn and being at 5 yards, like, that's not really going to affect the quarterbacks like that much.
Yeah.
It's like where the safeties are lined up, where the nickels lined up. If we're moving around a little bit more, you know, I think some things that Merrick is doing or perhaps being coached to do, obviously, it's a joint effort between him and the coaching staff. Some of his alignments, it's like, wait, are they playing cover four or are they playing cover three? You know, so he's the best guy right now disguising, but everyone else is kind of making a little obvious, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing, like with Herbert, man. I mean, he's a smart guy. You got to try to confuse him. And you know what you're talking about. You know, maybe they came out. I mean, they came on base cover three, which I think that was just interesting to see, because I still think a lot of teams aren't taking Herbert seriously. I don't think teams think about Herbert like how the NFL media looks at him, because they're not. I mean, the Chiefs didn't take him that serious either. You know, the obviously the Raiders, they came out with some base looks. And, you know, he's just too smart for that. You just can't, you have to try to confuse him. And if you get some pressure on him and you start to confuse him a little bit and, you know, make him hold the ball, that's when he starts checking down. And that's when you saw his YPA just go vroom at the end of the game, because that's the thing. So I mean, just for the next, you know, hopefully by, you know, we get to the point where the NFL starts taking him seriously. Like, it's okay, guys. Like, he's smart, guys. He's not going to just, he's not an idiot. He's not an idiot. You know, he's going to pick you apart if you just sit back there and, like, you know, play what you want to play. I mean, that's why the Cowboys gave him a little fits, because the Cowboys, I mean, Diggs was everywhere. You have no idea where Diggs is going. Is he in the middle? Is he over here? Is he as a corner? Is he a safety? He's all over the field. So, you know, he's trying to find Trayvon Diggs, and he's nervous about it. Makes him think. Like, when you're a smart quarterback, it's just like Derek Carr or playing like Kirk Cousins or any of those guys. I mean, Herbert's one of those minds that, you know, if you switch it up, if he thinks it's A pre-snap and then you switch it up to B, he's going to hold the ball a little bit. And I mean, that's mental quarterbacks until he sees more and more coverages and gets used to being a pre-snap. That's going to be him for a while. But you just can't show the same thing. He's going to be like, okay,
they're doing this. Go ahead. I don't think that it's about necessarily like doing a bunch of things. I think the point is just making it look like you're doing a bunch of things, you know, like,
yeah,
you can run like tons of cover three, but you got to be disguising as too high, like until the very last second, you know, like don't even close the middle of the field if you're not getting any vertical routes. Just like, okay, we tossed that one, that we made a cover three look like cover four, and we were able to get through it with the entire rep. Like they have to like the best defenses, honestly, right now, Chargers, we just saw one of them do it, you know, Miami, New England, you know, these teams, they are very tough to figure out what they're like. Kansas City was up there for a while when they were playing really well on defense. Mm-hmm. It's tough just looking at it from the all 22 and figuring it out. Like you have to really go through and try to figure out like what everyone's doing to make a call and what a coverage is a lot of times. Yeah. And Raiders are not like that. They're actually really simple to decipher. Honestly, it's even easier than Paul Gunther, because so often with Paul Gunther, there'd be like someone just doing the completely like wrong thing, you know, like someone's playing zone, everyone's playing man, one guy's playing zone or something like that, you know, like that would happen all the time. So I'm like, wait, what is this? But with Gus Bradley, like, nah, everyone's doing their job and they're just like not doing tons of things for the most part, you know, but we'll see. It worked for 3 weeks. It didn't work for the week four.
Yeah, because I mean, even Staley. I mean, Staley, you know, I had to send you some stuff, because I mean, they're running, you know, you don't know if, I mean, is it cover three? Is it cover four? I mean, I don't know. Is it? It's just man match. I mean, I feel like they don't even run like a four or a three. They just run man match all day. And like, yeah. So if Derwin James has no man coming to him, he's gonna go single high, right? And then the guys that have come down, some you know, digs or whatever. They're man match everywhere. So it's like. Is this like quarters? Like people just call it quarters. Are they playing just cover four? It's like, you never really can tell what they're playing. And, you know, that's why you have to mess with them a little bit too. You have to mess with them with your schemes. You have to make safeties break down and then hit them over the top. Because you create one-on-ones, but you need time.
I think
you need time.
If they were able to run the ball, this is a different outcome, I think, of this game.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you got to be able to run the ball against a team like that. You know, they're doing like college tricks. Excuse me. Like you saw the 5-1-5 bear, you know, like it looks like the Big 12 out here a little bit. You
feel me? I know, like, bro.
Yeah. Tight fronts, mid fronts. Like they're stopping the run the ways that a college team with no linebacker recruits is stopping the run. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And they were able to pull that off against the Raiders. And like, that just goes to show you Raiders run game is trash right now. Like,
yeah, it's straight up. It's bad. It's bad.
It's so bad.
And you know, it's, and some guys are, you know, doing their job and some guys aren't. And, you know, I would say ignore the PFF grades. Cause I don't think like, especially the guards are not playing that bad. You know, everybody, maybe you might call me a Simpson bias, whatever, but Illuminor is probably, I think he's playing the best at all of them. And I think he's the most solid one because Colt Miller is, yeah, he's dynamite, you know, as pass protection, but he's messing up in run blocks.
Run blocking, right?
Yeah. And then, but you know, Illuminor is doing, he's the most consistent. He's doing solid in both, right? And you'd rather have somebody that's solid in both. Like, you know, John Simpson, you know, he's up and down. He'll go five snaps looking like he's, you know, John Simpson, and he'll have an awful snap and then grade of negative 20. I mean, because so his bad snaps are just bad. Yeah, I think that's like the thing with him is that, you know, his bad snaps are outweighing all the good snaps that go with it, because he's had a lot of good snaps, especially the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, I don't think he's a liability. John Simpson. I think he's fine out there. Same with Luminor. I think Andre James is a little bit of a liability in the run game. I think he could still lose in the pass game too, depending on how strong the guy is. And he has like high pad level and stuff like that. So he's not able to get any push anyways when he's able to get somebody.
I see him on the ground too much. Honestly, that's an automatic disqualifier for me. Watching any lineman, offensive or defensive lineman, if you're on the ground, like, how many clips have you showed us where he's on the ground every week? The guy's on the ground so much. Like, that's a disqualifier for me. I cannot get on board with a lineman who can't stay on his feet. I'm sorry. I can't. First of all, that's how guys get hurt. That's how guys get hurt. You're going to put Leatherwood right next to him. Andre James is going to
freaking fall. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why are we changing Leatherwood? Like,
yeah.
Keep why are we changing
guy. He's
why
all changing over Leatherwood? The ground. Please don't.
You know what I mean? Like the Lions game in 2019, that was enough for me. I was done. You know, I you know, people killed me on Twitter for that. They killed
you
me,
got,
man.
You got killed. They you got killed, killed
me. You got and killed I straight up told it. You that this guy cannot play center in the NFL. I straight up said it. I said it. Straight up. Watching that tape, like, this guy can't play center in the NFL. He's not strong enough. There's no way he's going to have strength. They need to play Nick Martin. But then 2 days later, they gave him the contract. And I was like, damn,
man.
Just like Nick Martin, if you watch Sounds of the Game, Nick Martin is coaching them on the sideline. He's giving them tips.
Is he hurt?
He's like, yeah, you guys need to do this. He's standing up giving them tips about what to do. Play him.
Play him.
Gotta play him at this point.
You know he's prepared. You know he prepared everything. Like, he was gonna start.
He probably would fix most of the issues, just communication wise. Like, yeah. Some of those stunts, those free rushers would not happen. He would be sliding the line. He'd probably see some of those rushes. He would slide the line, and they would still be able to get help on Bosa, right? They would do more things with Nick Martin in there. He's not the best center in the world. He's not. But he at least knows what the hell he's doing. I mean,
in my opinion, look, if you're a starting caliber center in the NFL, it means you're one of 32 in the world. So... Andre James is not a starting caliber.
He's not a starting caliber center. I questioned that, man. I really said that.
And why
I got
killed. Why pay him
for a while? I got
why killed. Pay him?
I don't people were upset that. At me. Even got a response video. I got a response video of some people did a response video to my tweet proving that he was going to be the dude. You know, and
Shout out. Next time, like, that's how we collaborate with other Raiders channels, right?
I know. And it's funny, like, a lot of those dudes are attacking Simpson because, you know, I'm a big Simpson guy. So a lot of those dudes are like, they're attacking Simpson
pretty good. Oh, okay. You're right.
With no evidence. Like, show the evidence. Like, don't use Cam Hayward, who just, that's not, show me evidence of Simpson playing bad. I don't care what his PFF grade, show it to me. Because I can show you, he's getting pancakes every game still. So I can show it to you. So, like, that's what I would say about that. But yeah, you know, with James, I try to tell people, but hey, here we are, week four. You know, the wrong validation for me. I don't like this validation. This is terrible. I don't like being right here. I wanted to be wrong. This is something I really, really wanted to be wrong about. But man, you have to play Nick Barton at this point. Like, you have to. Like, that's what I was like when I heard, when I even saw that rumor of moving Leatherwood. Like, you're really gonna move Leatherwood before you move James? Like, James is the bigger problem than me. You gotta, your center has to be the man with communication on that line.
Like, and you can do creative things. Slide the protection to the tackle, chip, play action, right?
Yeah.
How much help really are you going to be able to give a center?
You can't help him block the right guy on
the
inside.
The center is the guy who helps.
I'm sorry.
The center is the guy who helps. If he can't even help himself. All right.
I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah. We're gonna cut it off right there. It's clear how Marcus really feels about Andre James. And you know what? And I know you said it, and I agree with you. Hopefully, we can just see improvements all across the entire offensive line. We'll be happy with that. But as long as Andre James keeps playing like this, you're going to hear Marcus on a soapbox on the Taped On Live channel. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Follow myself at BDWilliams18. Follow Marcus at TheMarkJohnNFL. You can add him on Twitter. Ask him how he really feels. You know, ask him some cool things in the DMs. You know, Marcus is gonna
have some football knowledge. I answer DMs for you guys. You know, you guys DM me, I answer.
Yes, he's gonna answer the football knowledge for you. Also, make sure you pick up, a deal at Manscaped into the promo code TDL at Manscaped, and you can have a beautiful bald head just like yours truly. Shout out to Kenneth, I think that's his name. Anyways, that's it for me, guys. Raider Nation, we out.
All right, peace.